Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty clear to me where all of this is going, and it is not a good place for America. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, this Friday edition of the show. And as wild as today is going to be, we are still having open line Friday, which means you can call in and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We do that on Fridays here on the program, and we're going to be getting to your calls momentarily. Welcome to our vast audience, whether you are listening by radio or you are watching us on our social media feeds. But folks, this is getting pretty serious around Donald Trump and the weaponization of the deep state and the Justice Department's efforts to take down this good and decent man and a great president. As it now stands, we have three new counts against Trump in the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case. If he is convicted on all of these charges, President Trump will spend 460 years in prison. Folks, this is just absolutely insane. And we all know what's going on here. Every single person listening to this program, whether you are a liberal or a conservative, you know what's going on here. Now, folks, let me explain why Jack Smith, Biden's hatchet man, is doing this. He knows that the case against Trump is weak, and we're going to go through some of the finer details of this in the program today. But Jack Smith really does not have a case against Trump, and why is that? Well, the reason is very simple. President Trump is covered under the Presidential Records Act. So he was allowed to have whatever kind of documents he wanted to have. That was his right as a former president of these great United States. So what Jack Smith is doing here, it's pretty evil. He's charging Trump. And by the way, this is not going to be the end of it. By the time we get ready to go to the RNC in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Trump could be facing 1,500 years in prison. We still have the Fulton County case that's about to come out. They're setting up barriers around the courthouse in Atlanta, so that tells us something big is about to happen. But with Jack Smith, he knows he doesn't have anything, so he's just randomly charging Trump with stuff now. And the reason why is they're hoping at least one of the charges sticks so they can throw this man in jail. This is nothing more than a political witch hunt, but it's even beyond that. We are watching the deep state, the bureaucracy of the United States of America, powered by Democrats, try to jail and imprison a political enemy. That's what's going on here. It really is that simple. And it bothers me when you have Republicans that are out there, and a lot of them are starting to get a little wobbly in the knees. The most recent is Mike Pompeo, who was out on the television with the cable shows saying, oh, this is bad for America on the world stage, that people are going to look at America, and you've got Joe Biden who can't even string together a sentence, and then you've got Donald Trump facing jail time. And Mike Pompeo is now saying, well, this is going to be bad for the country because it puts our national security at risk. No, Mr. Pompeo, what puts our national security at risk, sir, is sabotaging presidential elections. It's cooking up fake dossiers and using the deep state, using the FBI and these FISA courts to try and destroy a good and decent man. That's what's causing a national security problem. My question is very simple, folks. Based on the new allegations that have come out against Trump, this superseding indictment, do you still stand with this man? Now, Ron DeSantis, and we've got so much audio to play, so many clips for you to listen to. Ron DeSantis is out there, and he's telling Megyn Kelly that he might possibly consider pardoning Trump. Let's listen to cut number 10.
Would you commit to pardoning him on any federal charges against him?
Well, what I've said is very simple. I'm going to do what's right for the country. I don't think it would be good for the country to have an almost 80-year-old former president go to prison.
So that's a yes.
It just doesn't seem like it would be a good thing. And I look at, like, you know, Ford pardoned Nixon, took some heat for it. But at the end of the day, it's like, do we want to move forward as a country, or do we want to be mired in these past controversies?
So, look, I'm just going to help Ron DeSantis out here. I know he's struggling right now. They've had to lay off about a third of the campaign staff. I get that. I know that he had to fire some guy for coming up with a Nazi propaganda advertisement video. I get that. He's got a lot on his plate right now. But these kind of answers are bullcrap answers. This is like a load of fertilizer coming out so deep that you could plant a crop of butter beans in your living room. She asked a very simple question. Would you pardon Donald Trump? And he hemmed and he hawed. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason why Ron DeSantis is not doing well in the polls. Give a straight answer, Ron. Give a straight answer. Yes or no? It doesn't look. At the end of the day, it's not going to matter to people whether it's a yes or no. Well, it may impact their vote, but at least you're honest with them. You see, this is why people like Donald Trump. He tells you. He will answer your question. You may not like the answer to the question, but by golly, he will answer the question. You know where Donald Trump stands on the issues. But it's garbage like this, and it's a garbage answer. What he should have said is he should have interrupted Megyn Kelly. You better believe it's a yes. Hell yes. That's the first thing I'm going to do, Megyn. As soon as I take my hand off the Bible and I give that speech, I'm going right to the Oval Office, Megyn Kelly, and I'm going to whip out whatever piece of paper I need, and I'm going to write that pardon, and we're going to completely pardon Donald John Trump of every single charge, and we're going to make sure that his name is made good. And then, Megyn Kelly, I'm going to take off my tie and I'm going to physically roll up my sleeves and go and physically throw every single deep state goon out of their offices. That's what I'm going to do, Megyn Kelly. And you know what would have happened, ladies and gentlemen? Every single person in Trump world, every MAGA first person, every America first person out there, you know what they would have done? They would have gasped. Wait, what? He said that? He said that he would protect Trump, that he would put his neck out there on the line for Trump. Man, if something happens here and Trump doesn't run, that guy is the guy we want in office. But instead, DeSantis took the coward's way out. He never answered the woman's question. Answer the question. That's the difference between Ron DeSantis. He gave a political answer. So right now, at this very moment, we think Ron DeSantis would give Trump a pardon, but we're not sure because he hemmed and hawed. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's one thing I've learned over the many years of doing this radio broadcast and my 30 years of being a journalist, Americans do not like hemmers or hawers in the White House. So Trump is out there and now he's talking, did an interview this morning with our friends over at Breitbart. And Trump is right to be angry about this. And we're going to play some audio here. This is, let's try cut 18, please.
The special counsel put out a superseding indictment. What that means is additional charges against you on the documents case, as well as they added another defendant, the head of maintenance down at Mar-a-Lago. I don't know if you've had a chance to review this.
I just heard it as I'm sitting down. This is harassment. This is election interference. I'm protected by the Presidential Records Act totally. It shouldn't even be a case. It's not a criminal case. Where's Biden with all the documents? He's got 20 times, 30 times the documents I have, and he has not made it easy for them either. They're hiding boxes. They're sending boxes to Chinatown. Boxes are being sent to Chinatown, and yet China's paying them millions of dollars. You explained that one. And you don't even hear about it. All you hear about is Trump. No, this is a two-tier system of injustice. And that's what we have. We have a sick country. Our country is very sick right now. We have a failing nation, and it's a very, very sad thing to watch.
It's disgusting to watch, and you can hear the anger in his voice. This is an angry man, and it is a righteous anger. And by the way, it's not just that he's having, and he doesn't even have his entire party backing him up. But it's not even that. You don't even have Fox News anymore backing this guy up. The only people that are standing with Donald Trump right now are the people over at Newsmax. That's it. So look, we're going to be playing some more of this audio. We're going to take a break. I want to go to the phones. We've got Connor in Boston, Eileen in Georgia. Are you starting to understand what's at play here? We are watching another attack on Donald Trump and his presidency. And we cannot allow this to stand. We just cannot allow this to stand. And by the way, it is far from over. And every single time they come out and say they're going to be charging Trump, every single time that happens, you better believe another Republican leader like a Mike Pompeo is going to stand up and say, well, you know, maybe we just need to, maybe Trump just needs to go back to Mar-a-Lago. No more meatloaf for you, Mike Pompeo. None for you. You're not welcome at Mar-a-Lago anymore. That's what Trump ought to say. Shame on all of these people. Shame on all of them. All right, we got to take a break. Your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. Up today, everybody. This is nuts. So I know a lot of other conservative talk radio hosts, they've already thrown in with Ron DeSantis. And look, that's their right, and God love them. Appreciate them. But you know what? You got to dance with the folks that brought you to the big dance. And we're standing with Trump on this radio show. I have yet to see anything that would disqualify this man for being the next president of these great United States. All right, let's go to the phones here, and I want to start with our good friend Connor in Boston, our favorite millennial. All right, Connor, when you heard these charges coming, and again, these were superseding charges, so we were expecting the indictment to come down on another issue, but it was this. What was your reaction?
Well, first off, Todd, I just want to say it was a pleasure to call in today and talk to the great speaker. It's been a while, so first off, great to do that, but on these charges right here, you know, it's honestly a joke. And it's taking what the American people have held to a very high bar, which is our Justice Department, and it's making the average American just not trusted anymore. They already don't trust the FBI. And that's directly on the Biden administration here. This is a complete joke and a complete waste of resources when it comes to taxpayer dollars.
Connor, it's just one more example of how the government has been weaponized to take out American people, and especially conservatives, people who love this country.
And I'm going to tell you exactly. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When it comes to these Republicans like Ron DeSantis, anybody who really is trying to go up against Trump and use this as a segue to promote their own political careers, you know, shame on them. And I hope Trump remembers this when these people are looking for a job when he's in office and he writes back on whatever way they submit their resume to him, LOL, not a chance. And the American people are going to remember this too when Trump's not on the ballot in 4 years. So we never, ever reward this type of behavior from these rhino Republicans. The only time they ever come around is every 4 years. Trump is always here, even when he's not in office. And quite frankly, I don't know why he's putting himself through all of this scrutiny and all this misery, quite frankly. But the thing I know is that he's doing it for the American people and his love of this country, this great country.
Connor, I'm with you on that. I don't get it, but I do get it. I mean, this is a man who deeply loves America. His family came here. They claimed their American dream, and they're living it. And I think he wants to secure that dream for his grandchildren and for his great-great-grandchildren one day. That's what I see in Donald Trump. And it's really sad when you have members of his own party who are fighting him and trying to destroy him. And that's what really angers me here, Connor.
Todd, he's the greatest president of my lifetime. And I'm telling you one thing right here. In my household, we stand with Trump. And we're right there on the fighting front lines with him. And we're not going anywhere.
Good for you, Connor. Well, it's good hearing from you. Hang in there. Folks, look, the reality is I like Mike Pompeo. I like Ron DeSantis. The problem with Ron DeSantis, he makes it very hard to like him. He's doing things that make it very difficult for many of us to say, you know what, I think he's made a few mistakes, but he's a good guy. The problem is the mistakes keep compounding. This is unbelievable. So, I mean, I like these guys, and maybe they can be president one day, but this is not the time. And somebody at the RNC headquarters needs to wake up and have some sort of a come-to-Jesus moment with all of these candidates and help them understand what's really at stake here. This is not a presidential election pitting the Republicans against the Democrats. It is an election pitting first America First patriots against the deep state. That's what this election is all about. We've got to stop this weaponization of the federal government to come after our political enemies. It's just insane. All right, let's go to Eileen on WDUN in Georgia. Eileen, what say you?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for, and it was nice to hear Grace's voice. I have a concern. The Republican primaries, or all the primaries, are going to be done by the time President Trump's faux trial starts in May. And I believe that the Republican convention is sometime that summer, June or July. So my concern is, God forbid, but if President Trump is found guilty and they put him in jail and make him stay there until the appeal, does that mean that there won't be a Republican candidate on the presidential ticket? Because I've been trying to what happened was I heard Mark Levin last Friday night, and he mentioned, you know, about the convention and about the trial. And I tried calling him to ask him that question because I know he's very learned when it comes to constitutional matters. And I've been trying to get people to, like my congressman, to answer that, or my local White County party to answer that. And I have not received a response. So I know that you oftentimes have congresspeople and senators on your show. Could you possibly ask them that question? Because I think it would be a severe crisis. And I would like to know if something like that happened. God forbid, I stand with Trump. But, I mean, we see what's going on, and it's just awful. And he has my vote regardless. But could you possibly find out that
Eileen,
answer to that question?
I will do my best here. And as far as the Constitution goes, it's a little murky on the issue of whether or not a president can serve his office if he's in jail. But let's just say, for the sake of this argument, that Trump cannot do that. Let's say he's the nominee, he gets elected, and he's been convicted, and he's got to go to jail. At that point, if the president is unable to fulfill his duties, then the vice president will step up. So there, it will not be like the Democrats get control. So whoever the number two is on the ticket will become president of the United States. I hope that answers your question. And I'll pick up with that thought coming up after this break. Hang tight, everybody. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart, take a courageous stand and reopen the doors in the face of a world that has chosen to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove that this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to take your friends and family and go see this movie. It comes out in theaters Friday, July 28th. Get your tickets now. Go to EssentialChurchMovie.com to get your tickets today. That's EssentialChurchMovie.com, EssentialChurchMovie.com. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show on this Open Line Friday, and we're going to be talking about whatever you want to talk about today. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, if you notice now that Kevin McCarthy is in a bit of a pickle, and it's not even a kosher pickle, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pickle. He is now backing off of the whole impeachment idea. Now, he's saying they're going to be looking at an inquiry, but hear me on this. McCarthy doesn't want to go down that route. He never has wanted to go down that route. And that's why you're seeing all of these Republicans on Capitol Hill, especially in the Senate, dismissing the idea. And they're saying, well, you know, it's not a good idea. We may not have the votes to do anything in the Senate, and it's just really a big waste of time. And folks, they're all in on it. Kevin McCarthy is not a true conservative here. He has no intention of going down the impeachment rabbit hole. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right, let's go to the phones here. North Carolina, the talk station, Pastor Bob on the line. Hi, Pastor. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm 82 years old. And this is not the United States I grew up in. And what bothers me is supposedly we have educated people voting for these people that they think are smart instead of they're corrupt. And it's just making me sick to listen to what's going on. And as far as DeSantis is concerned, I wish that he was doing this 4 years from now, and I would love to see him and Trump working together to go after this whole mess.
Well, I'm with you, Pastor Bob, but if DeSantis keeps giving interviews where he's taking cheap shots at President Trump's age and he hems and haws about whether or not he would, you know, pardon the guy, I'm not sure Trump is looking at DeSantis as someone who would be trustworthy. I think DeSantis is digging a hole right now.
And sad to say, I agree with you there. I just wish that he would have been a different person 6 or 8 months ago. And I would donate personally to Trump a bushel basket full of handcuffs and come help him lock some of these people up. If nobody ever goes to jail, things are never going to change politically.
Pastor Bob, you're absolutely right, and we need to see people frog marched out of FBI headquarters and the Justice Department and the Internal Revenue Service and the Department of Education. And I'm with you, Pastor. I'll be on the first flight up to Washington, D.C. with you to help to give the president a helping hand on that. Because you're right, that needs to happen. Pastor Bob, good to hear from you, sir. Let's go to Susie in Georgia. Hi, Susie. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. My heart is just grieving, Todd, for what they're doing to my president. And it just everything you said about to Connor, I agree with you, Todd, and I just don't have words in my vocabulary to express how I'm feeling now. I love that man and his family, Todd. And it just hurts me. And I would just like to ask everybody that's listening to please, if you're a Christian, please pray for his safety. Just pray for President Trump's safety. You know, Todd, and I'm glad you got water.
Well, you're kind to say that, Susie. We did get water. I just got an alert. I don't have power now, so it's.
Oh no!
It's we're in such difficult shape here in this part of the country. It is what it is, Susie. Yeah. God bless you, and I hear you, and you have a heart of gold, and I would encourage everybody to follow your advice, which is pray for the president. Because I'm telling you, folks, God is a whole lot bigger than the Democrat Party, and he's a lot bigger than the Republican Party. And I believe that God is going to intervene here. This is just getting out of control. Here's Mike Pompeo talking about, and again, folks, you got to watch the nuance here because they're making the shift. There is going to be a full-on effort to remove Trump from the lineup, and it's going to be coming from the Republicans now. So you've got to pay attention to this stuff. Cut 14.
We've been covering every minute of this. You watched the plea deal fall apart on Wednesday. You've got this new Trump indictment now. You've got growing calls from the GOP for an impeachment inquiry of the sitting president. And you sit back and you kind of start to wonder, what are the bad guys out there thinking about? What is happening here in America right now?
You know, I was thinking about that last night. I was traveling, got home in the evening and saw the news of the day. And I was thinking about that as a practitioner, as someone who, as the CIA director and then a secretary of state, lived in an environment not terribly different from this, where the Russia hoax was being perpetrated on the American people. And as someone who lived through a former secretary of state, Secretary Clinton, when I served on the Benghazi committee, that very clearly had deleted information from her server, I stepped back and thought about exactly that. Our friends around the world are saying, what on earth is going on in the United States? How much chaos can be tolerated from the world's most important country? And our adversaries are thinking this might just be the moment to press our claim somewhere in the South China Sea or in Asia, our moment to press an advantage somewhere in Africa or the Middle East as well. This has repercussions that go far beyond just the politics and the set of votes that might take place in 2024 or even just a particular case. This has real global ramifications for those people who are tasked with keeping us safe, our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. It's really troubling.
Now, here's the problem with Mike Pompeo. Again, another politician. The issue here is not Donald Trump. And you cannot equate Donald Trump's legal troubles to Joe Biden and the fact that Joe Biden has been the leader of a criminal enterprise that includes members of his immediate family. It does not include the fact that Biden is mentally incompetent to be president of the United States right now. You cannot equate those things with what Trump is going through because it is Joe Biden's administration that is causing the legal trouble. And again, folks, we need to have laser-focused vision here. Laser-focused vision. The issue here is a weaponized deep state. And if we let them do this to Donald Trump, they're going to do it to every single candidate we have. And folks, I don't think any of these other Republicans have the fortitude to stand up to the attacks. I'm just telling you here, folks, it is... We are not playing games anymore. This is a street fight, like West Side Story. I'm just telling you, folks, it is bad out there. All right, I got to talk about Nancy Mace for a second. And Grace, we got a call after the show yesterday from somebody who was very upset with me about what I had to say about Nancy Mace.
Yeah, he said you were being too hard on her. You know, you were just being way too hard on her and critical of her. And I'm like, look, call in and disagree with him. Please do. He called after the show ended.
Oh, well, look, I want to go back and play some audio here from last night. So Sean Hannity had Nancy Mace, the congresswoman from South Carolina, on to talk about her behavior at the Tim Scott prayer breakfast, which was yesterday morning. And as we all know, Congresswoman Mace admitted to the good church-going people of the Palmetto State that she was guilty of doing some fornicating. I believe that's the biblical word here.
Yes, technically.
You can look it up. or at least implying that she had been doing some fornicating.
Oh, yes.
So she was living in sin with her fiancé.
Yeah, it left very little to the imagination.
Very little to the imagination. So anyway, people were kind of, they were aghast. I mean, you could hear people kind of like, they were shocked.
Yes.
Because normally one doesn't talk about one's sex life at a prayer gathering. I'm just saying.
And around breakfast.
There are some things that are best left unspoken at the prayer breakfast.
True.
It is what it is. So anyway, she was on Hannity's show last night, and I kind of figured Hannity would say, come on, Nancy. You know, Nancy, what were you thinking here? Was it just a slip of the tongue here? No, I don't mean anything other than it was a slip of the tongue. Don't read anything into that. And so Hannity was trying. I thought he was going to try to get to the bottom of it and help her save face a little bit. Here's what happened. Cut number 9.
And Congresswoman Mace made even more headlines this morning at a prayer breakfast when she explained why she was almost late for Tim Scott's prayer breakfast. Take a look.
When I woke up this morning at 7, I was getting picked up at 7:45. Patrick, my fiancé, tried to pull me by my waist over this morning in bed, and I was like, no, baby, we don't got time for that this morning. I got to get to the prayer breakfast, and I got to be on time, and a little TMI, but he can wait. I'll see him later tonight.
Much later tonight, because she's on this show. Anyway, Congresswoman Mace joins us. Congresswoman, great
where do
to
you
have
start,
you.
John?
I guess you'll get home sometime around midnight tonight. So
well,
I thought it was pretty funny at a prayer breakfast. Good for you for having a great sense of humor.
So Hannity said, I loved it. Who doesn't like a good sex joke in the middle of a prayer breakfast, a stuffy old prayer breakfast?
Good for you, he said.
So, good for you.
Good for you. I was like, wait, what?
So,
oh, my gosh.
I guess, you know, maybe she wanted some afternoon to light and she couldn't wait, so it needed to be mid-morning or something. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, Nancy Mace is now, again, she weighed in on this, and I'm not going to belabor this point. I just think it's an interesting conversation. She says that she is a sinner. She is not a saint, and that's why she goes to church. And by the way, her preacher was in the audience for that. And look, I agree with her there. You know, we are all sinners saved by grace. I mean, no doubt about that. You just have to make sure the jokes at the prayer breakfast are rated G, right? That's the only thing. You can't be doing sex jokes at the prayer breakfast. I mean, it is what it is. By the way, it seems to me we ought to be more concerned about Congresswoman Mace and her Republican credentials, because she's the one who says that we need to be rethinking how the Republicans handle the abortion issue. That's Nancy Mace. Also, Nancy Mace is not exactly pro Second Amendment. So we need to be looking at those issues. And again, lay off the PG-13 jokes. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, we're going to be taking your calls on the Todd Starnes Show.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the Shades of Summer Sale, July 28th through August 7th, and get 35% off paints and stains with prices starting at $28.92. That means 35% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, get 35% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
All right, I want to go back to this DeSantis thing. Dylan, did I give you enough time to get that audio? All right, so this is another question. And again, you got to listen to these people, folks. You have to listen. They never answer the questions. All right, take a listen to this one.
You said Trump should have done more on January 6th. Like what?
Well, look, I think it's been well documented, kind of his conduct when it first started, how he sat there, you know, could have obviously leaned in harder. I think, I mean, even his own kids were texting saying, you know, he needs to do more. Is that criminal, though? I mean, that's the thing when you talk about a grand jury and a potential criminal indictment.
You didn't answer the question. We need specifics.
Specifics. Totally understand. We're just going to not discuss any specifics.
Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. John in Mississippi, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I wanted to comment. Cicero, you know, talked about bread and circuses with the Roman Republic and the five steps to decline or fall of the Roman Empire. We're in about step four and a half right now. We've got a poor southern border. You know, our country's rotting from within. You know, as Lenin said, we're too powerful to be conquered from without. And the Chinese Central Party, of course, is pumping fentanyl into the southern border, and I'm just worried. I don't know if Joe Biden plays the violin or not.
Well, somebody is certainly, yeah, he may be fiddling with something while the nation burns, John. You know, you're raising some important points here, and I do have concerns. Hope, but I have concerns. And when you look at what the Democrat policies have done going all the way back to Barack Hussein Obama's administration, it's very clear that they are weakening us. And one of the greater concerns I have, John, is the weakening of our military. And I am very troubled by the weaponization of the sex and gender revolutionaries who have pretty much taken control of the Pentagon right now, more focused on pronouns than they are fighting the enemy and keeping all of us safe.
Well, I'm a disabled retired Navy lieutenant, and I'm the same way. The military is supposed to, you know, do their job by lowering the enemy's morale and raising hate and discontent within their ranks by superior firepower, not by pure use of pronouns. And I was really disgusted when the Navy used a drag queen in one of its recruiting advertisements. I guess if superior pronoun phraseology would win wars, you know, the Chinese are quaking in their boots, but that's not how you fight a war.
No, sir, it sure is not. And I think our enemies are laughing at us right now, John, and they know that we are weakened, and that's the concern. You know, they're not stupid. They can see what's happening to us, and our enemies are laughing at us. John, appreciate you listening to us. Thank you for serving our great nation, sir. God bless you. Let's go to Orlando in Georgia. Hi, Orlando. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I'm just going to get right down to it. I got two different things I want to address to you. One, I think our president now, I feel like he's a clone. I don't think he's human. That's one. And Ron DeSantis, I think he's fixing to change hands. I think he's fixing to go from being a Republican to being a Democrat. That's exactly what I hear. The more I hear you talk about that.
So you think that that the biologics, that seems to be the word we're supposed to use now. So Biden is not a humanoid. You think he's like an alien or a creature or something?
I think he's created, he's cloned to where the government has cloned him, because look at how he walks. And I think he's been programmed to say all of the things that he's been saying from peers from the past. There's something real strange about that whole thing. But Mr. Ron DeSantis, that's a no-brainer on which way he's going.
Wow. All right. Orlando, this is fascinating. We've got to run for the news here, but you gave us something to chew on. I will say this, Grace. It's almost like some days, you know, Biden will come out from the stage and he like walks in that really, really fast, weird pace.
Yes. It's like stiff.
It's like the Energizer Bunny where they've like, you know, they wound him up and he's like,
let him go.
Right on out there.
Yep.
And then as it slowly winds down, he starts going in slow motion.
And some days his eyes are wide open. Sometimes they droop.
I was kind of hoping he was going to go. He said clone, but I was kind of hoping he was going to go with the alien thing. That would tie into yesterday's UFO conversation, right? I'm just saying. Oh, by the way, Tim Burchett went on CNN, the most profane name in news yesterday. We're going to play some audio coming up. It's going to blow your mind. Also, one of those UPenn swimmers, she finally put the Democrats in their place. We're going to tell you about that, too. Stick around, everybody.
Hi, Phil Swift here for new Flex Super Glue. What's truly amazing is that our Flex Super Glue is so strong that just one drop virtually welds itself to the surface and can lift over 3 tons. Forget those old super glues. Get the one that's new, Flex Super Glue. Go to flexsealproducts.com/3-ton-lift to learn more about how one drop lifted 3 tons. For demonstration purposes only.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Well, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. It is going to be a busy one. We're watching the Fulton County Courthouse in Atlanta, where we may or may not be having word of yet another Trump indictment coming down. We're going to keep you updated on that story. Also, our good friend Timothy Head from the Faith and Freedom Coalition is going to be here talking about the presidential race. They've been hosting a number of events all over America, and we're excited to be partners with those guys. And so we'll be talking to him a little bit later. Now, today is also Open Line Friday, and we've got a lot happening. If you want to ask a question, though, or perhaps you want to talk about something we are not talking about, well, guess what? You can do that today. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. All right. There was a big debate up on Capitol Hill yesterday. And it was happening during this program when members of the University of Pennsylvania girls swimming team testified before Congress, and they shared some pretty horrifying things about Leah Thomas and some of the things they were forced to endure as a result of allowing a man into the female locker room. Paula Scanlon is one of those young ladies. And here's what she had to say to Congress yesterday, cut number 11.
This is representative of a greater issue, the destruction of free speech. Today, any discussion maintaining the sanctity of women's faces is labeled transphobic, bigoted, and hateful. What's bigoted and hateful is the discrimination against women and the efforts to erase women and our equal opportunities, dignity, and safe spaces. One might ask, why do I speak so passionately about issues that seem hypothetical or some may perceive as only impacting a small number of women? This is not hypothetical. This is real. I know women who have lost roster spots and spots on the podium. I know of women with sexual trauma who are adversely impacted by having biological males in their locker room without their consent. I know this because I am one of these women. I was sexually assaulted on June 3rd of 2016. I was only 16 years old. I was able to forgive my attacker, but violence against women still exists. Let us not forget the viral Me Too movement that empowered female victims to speak up. It cast a spotlight on the widespread prevalence of sexual assault and abuse, including in scholarly and educational institutions. Individuals on this committee have previously stated violence against women is all too common. I am grateful for those members who have brought awareness to the violence against women in the past, but unfortunately, there's still much to be done. As a sexual assault survivor, many policies pushed today completely ignore my experiences and many women like me. I ask the members of this committee, please consider this issue outside the lens of political affiliations.
All right, so there you have it. That's a little bit of Paula Scanlon. So then Congressman Steve Cohen, who is the Democrat from Tennessee, from Memphis. And this guy, it's, you know, he wears the seersucker suit, but it looks like he just doesn't have good hygiene. I'm trying to be polite about this, but the guy's always looking askew. And you might remember him. He showed up one day for a hearing, and he was holding a bucket of fried chicken. He was literally eating fried chicken from like KFC or somewhere on the platform as he in the middle of this meeting. I love my chicken. I love chicken. I'm Steve Cohen. I'm a Democrat from Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, and I love me some good fried chicken. It's finger licking good. That's the guy. So anyway, Cohen says, wow, wait a second, there's a problem here. And he's listening to Ms. Scanlon as she's testifying. And even the Democrat, and this is what's brilliant, Steve Cohen completely forgot the Democrat Party's position on all of this because he was listening to this young woman's testimony, and it was so compelling, and it made so much sense that Steve Cohen said, wait a minute. You've got grown men in the ladies' room, and they're running around with their moneymakers? That's not how we do things down in Memphis, Tennessee. So here's Steve Cohen, and this is really fascinating. Cut number one.
I read Ms. Scanlon's testimony. I wasn't here to hear it, and I think Penn didn't deal with your situation like they could have and should have in putting up some type of different barriers in the women's area of the locker room.
Ms. Scanlon, we just heard my Democrat colleague, Mr. Cohen, say that your circumstance could have been fully resolved if we'd have just had some barriers up in the women's showers. Do you think that that's a sufficient way to resolve what we're dealing with here?
I think by Representative Cohen admitting that we need barriers acknowledges there are biological differences between men and women. And by acknowledging that we need to have private spaces that are separate from each other, why can't we just use the locker rooms that we've always used, the men's and the women's? If you're acknowledging that we need protection and privacy from these men, then you're acknowledging that the locker rooms we've always used are the correct ones.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Even Congressman Steve Cohen understands that you need separate facilities, one for men and one for women. He talks about wanting to erect barriers inside the women's locker rooms so that biological women can feel safe. Yes, that's what we used to call a ladies' locker room and a men's locker room. You finger licking idiot. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to the phone lines. Open line Friday. Got to tell you about our good buddy David Horowitz, though. He's got a terrific new book out called The Final Battle. And, folks, you got to read this thing before the 2024 presidential election. President Trump says the nation is facing a final battle in the coming election. And he is absolutely right. And David exposes the deep state efforts to stop Donald Trump. And, folks, we're seeing this play out right now on the national stage every single day. President Trump says you got to get the final battle. You got to read this because the next election may be the last election in this country. Now, look, you can get a copy of the book in bookstores everywhere. It's already an Amazon bestseller. But here's the deal. Newsmax wants to help you save almost $30, and you're going to be able to get the book for free. Go to finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com and get a copy of David's great new book.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like,
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is good news. So apparently the Secret Service is allowing President Biden to use the big boy staircase to get off of Air Force One. You know, they've climbing up the stairs. They've got him coming up the buttocks of the plane, right? They've got a smaller stair, and they're concerned that he might end up falling and hurting himself. So they're very careful about this. And by the way, NBC News says that the president uses the shorter staircase. I'm not making this up. This is coming from the drive-by media here. That the president uses the smaller staircase to avoid viral moments that would reinforce voters' worries about his fitness. So here's what happened, though, Grace. And we've got this video up on our Facebook page. And, Grace, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So Biden, he gets off of Air Force One, and you're supposed to salute the president, the commander-in-chief.
Sure.
Is supposed to salute the military personnel there. He forgets to do that. And then he just wanders off.
Yep.
He's wandering around the tarmac, and everybody's following him around, and nobody knows where he's going.
Maybe he is like an Energizer Bunny, and when you set, you know, you wind him up and you set him off, he goes in a straight line. Like, he can't, like, turn where he needs to go.
So you have a dog.
I do have a dog.
All right. So I want to ask you, there's a leash. So when you take Merlot, sweet little Merlot, out in public, you have Merlot on a leash. Why do you have the dog on a leash?
To keep her from wandering off.
To keep her from wandering off. Now, they have a human version of this, right?
I mean, yeah.
I've seen parents, and they've got the little kids on leashes.
With the backpack.
That's
the kid,
it.
Like, wears, like, a backpack that's, like, I don't know, strapped on.
Oh, they use a backpack. I thought they just strapped something around the kid's neck.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it exists, but in person, I've only seen the backpacks. I think that's going a bridge too far.
Well, I mean, if you've got a kid that wanders a lot, you know, and you keep telling the kid, you know, Dylan, get back here, and Dylan doesn't pay any attention, you know, maybe you could even have the shock collar, right?
Give him a little bzzz.
Yeah, a little love buzz.
Oh, some pepper spray.
Is that what Nancy Mace calls it?
Gosh. The little water bottle that squirts when they misbehave.
Yeah, there you go.
No, Biden.
I think we need to get Biden one of these. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, so he doesn't wander off.
Is just get, and you know what? It's the guy who carries around the nuclear codes.
Yeah.
The guy's by his side all the time. So it would not be all that difficult. He's got the nuclear codes handcuffed to his one arm, and on the other, he's got Biden's leash.
Perfect. Sounds like it would solve a lot of problems.
It would. And then when he gets off track or whatever, you can just reel him back in.
Yes. No, sir. This way. Come on.
Right.
Look, treat. Come over here.
Exactly.
That's what I do.
There you go. All right. So you got to watch this video at toddstearns.com. Go to our Facebook, our social media pages, and we've got it there. Also on the Instagram. All right. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Bill in Georgia. Now, Bill, you want to talk about, we had some guy call in, and he seems to think that President Biden is actually a clone. And you want to weigh in on that.
I saw it firsthand, Todd, and I saw it with my own eyes. So basically, you know, this is this week, you know, with all this alien stuff going on, this fits it perfectly. Also, when I was a kid back in the 60s, I used to watch Flintstones. I saw that spaceship come down, abduct Fred Flintstone, clone him, just like I think he's cloning all the politicians. And now they're just walking zombies just like that. You got to watch the episode. I think in my whole heart now that I saw a revelation when I was a kid on TV there.
So this was prophesied. So you're saying this is cartoon prophecy.
Yep. Things to come.
I think I remember that episode where the aliens showed up and kidnapped Fred Flintstone.
You got to check it out, brother. Hey, you got to laugh once in a while, you know?
Yeah, you got
and
to.
On this topic, Trump at age 80 will be more cognitively capable and physically capable than people half his age. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He's a smart guy. Age isn't a factor with Donald Trump.
There you go. Bill, I'm with you on that. Trump looks physically fit. He's having a good time. He's living his best life. And let's see what happens. All right, appreciate that call. There you go. The Flintstones. Who knew?
All units, regroup immediately and return to ship. That is all.
Yabba dabba do.
Yabba dabba do. Yabba dabba do.
Yeah, I can see it. As crazy as it is. But then again, we're holding congressional hearings on aliens. So I guess anything's possible. So yabba dabba do. Is that what they, yeah, that's what they said. Yabba dabba do. It's Friday, isn't it? And it is Open Line Friday. So we asked, you know what? We asked for this, Grace Baker. So we asked for this.
We're getting what we deserve. Aliens.
Clearly we are. All right, let's go to Bill in North Carolina on WSJS, our great affiliate in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, thank you so much, Todd. I wish God's blessings on you and Grace, your staff, and all of your listeners. And but I had talked to you last week when President Biden was having problems getting in and out of the aircraft. So I had called and said, well, hey, we just put him on a forklift and raise him up. Well, just wanted to make you aware that I've got a good friend of mine who was a double master's major in mechanical and electrical engineering.
Wow.
We have a prototype built that we can get Joe up into the airplane or into the helicopter. The problem has been trying to decide what to name it. We were going to name it the Gojo, but that's probably copyrighted by a very, very great hand cleaner. Yes. And then I thought, well, we can't be totally politically incorrect and just call it a dumb waiter.
No, you can't do that, Bill. No, that's inappropriate. Go ahead. I think I know where this is going. Oh, my word.
No. So what we decided to do, we've got a color scheme for it with the, you know, red, white, and blue stars and everything.
Well, that's very patriotic, Bill.
We're going to incorporate the South, put a big three on it for our dear friend Dale Earnhardt, who was the Intimidator, and we're going to call this new thing for Biden the Bidenator.
The Bidenator. I love it. I love it. I love it. So but I'm still partial
Todd,
to Chair Force One.
Time on my hands.
Yeah, clearly you do, Bill. Yes, you do. And we can help you with that. So
thank you.
All right, you need to take up a class or something. Oh my gosh, the Bidenator, Chair Force One. I love it, folks. I'm telling you, we have the best audience in all of talk radio. You guys are awesome, Bill. Appreciate that call and keep it real in Winston-Salem. The Bidenator. You know that's. Have you seen though the videos where? Could you imagine Biden getting around? He's got this chair. It's the Bidenator, and he's driving around everywhere, kind of like those morbidly obese people at Walmart.
It's like, or the people at Disney World that you've described.
I'm debating whether or not to post this video from Sacramento, California,
where
a group of morbidly obese women, and by morbidly, it looks as though, I guess they were wearing like polyester pants. Are those the stretchable pants?
Yeah, the sweat, yep.
And honest to goodness, it looked like she had stuffed, they were shoplifting. And I mean, just loads of merch. And first of all, I'm surprised that nobody stopped them because they were not moving that fast.
Well, you said this is San Francisco, right?
Sacramento.
Well,
which
I'm
is
still
nearby.
Not surprised, so they don't stop anybody.
But this woman was wearing these brown polyester pants. I'm going to send you this video. I'm debating whether or not I should post
this.
Oh,
no. Maybe
but
not.
It looks like she stuffed full hams down her legs.
Like honey-baked hams?
Like full honey-baked hams. Maybe even a couple of spiral hams based upon the impressions on the pants. But I've never seen anything like this.
People get creative, and I don't mean that kindly.
It's ridiculous. All that to say, I was surprised she was not on one of those motorized scooters.
Yep, just speeding away.
Exactly.
You'll never catch me now.
It's true. I mean, you can hear the alarms going off in the distance as they're literally stuffing these. The car was filled with merch. And I guess they get away with it now. You know, that's part of the shtick, I guess. All right, I'm thinking about posting it. All right, I'll get back to you on that. We got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. It is Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to ask me, you can do it today right here on the Todd Starnes Show.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the Shades of Summer Sale, July 28th through August 7th, and get 35% off paints and stains with prices starting at $28.92. That means 35% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, get 35% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
All right. Eileen sent me a follow-up note on our Facebook fan page, and she is correct. I forgot to follow up with her question and her concern. We were up against a hard break. So let me do that real quick here. So Eileen said the question was, if President Trump is put in jail before the election, but is the chosen Republican candidate, does that mean there will be no Republican candidate on the ballot, or will Republicans choose someone else at the convention? All right. So Eileen, this is a complicated answer. First of all, there's really no precedent for this. So if Trump is the chosen candidate, then he's the guy. And if he's in jail and he gets elected, he is president of the United States. So the question now becomes, okay, well, how is that going to work? And we don't know the answer to that because this has never happened before in the history of the Republic. And that's why this is a big deal. Now, if a candidate were to die or some, they have some procedures in place for that. But again, this would ultimately go back to the political parties. So the Republicans would have to decide, all right, what do we want to do here? Do we want to keep Trump? And then the states have to get involved because the states have already decided. So it's a big mess, Eileen, is the short answer. It is a great big mess. And we're marching into waters that are very unfamiliar with this nation. So we'll try to sort it all out for you. But the Constitution is a little vague on some of this because nobody expected that you would have a deep state try to sabotage a presidential election. I mean, it's really that simple. All right. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It is a Patriotic Newsmaker line. Our good friend from the Faith and Freedom Coalition joins us, Timothy Head. Timothy, how are you today?
I am doing well. You know, these are, like you were just talking about, these are, you know, what a time to be alive, to be working in especially conservative electoral politics. But you know, that's the old adage, may you live in interesting times, is coming to fruition here.
Well, it certainly is. And we've got a lot of callers that are just concerned about what's happening and the direction of the country. And I think they're right to be concerned. What are you hearing? You guys are out there, grassroots efforts. What are you hearing from voters?
Well, you know, I would say on the one hand, people are glued to, you know, the proverbial televisions. Of course, they also don't know exactly which television networks to believe these days. But I would say, you know, so first of all, you always have to bear in mind in the Republican primary process, you know, you've got these first four, they're called primary carve-out states, these early states, Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, and then you go to Super Tuesday, we still got, you know, January the 15th is when Iowa begins. The primaries go through South Carolina in late February, and then the first Tuesday in September, sorry, the second Tuesday in March is actually when Super Tuesday is. So we've got plenty of time, and there's going to be a lot of different iterations of this saga that are going to unfold, not only on the kind of the legal side, but also on the political side. So, you know, I would say it's you know, even tonight in the Republican Party of Iowa is having an event with all of the candidates, and even tonight is probably another one of these kind of, you know, threshold days. We have an event in mid-September in Iowa again. Have two other events in other parts of the country with all of the candidates coming up in September and October. So there's a lot of game to be played.
Well, there is. And I think the work that you guys are doing is so vitally important. I think even more so than the RNC, you guys have boots on the ground. You're listening to these voters. You're getting people registered to vote. I mean, if you're looking for a group to really engage the political process with, Faith and Freedom Coalition is it. Now, Timothy, tell us about the apparatus. I mean, I've spoken at the Road to the Majority, and I've spoken at several North Carolina events, but you guys have organizations nationwide.
That's right. You know, we actually have state chapters. So we're based in Atlanta, Georgia. So we're not based in the Beltway, which was done strategically, by the way, unto itself. We do lobby Congress, obviously. So we have a D.C. office that's just off the hill. But then we now have about 25 state chapters across the country, and we're engaged in all 50. But we just are organized institutionally in 25 of those. But those are, you know, heavy and purple states for presidential purposes. And then also we're lobbying in state capitals across the Southeast, the Midwest, the Great Lakes, you know, pushing for pro-life, pro-faith, pro-family public policies on the state level. So we're really built, you know, first of all, for the long term, and secondly, to affect elections and then to effectuate policy. So it's, you know, it's very much a 10, 20, 30 year horizon for us. We're deeply engaged in the 24 process. But we're trying to kind of turn it to bend the arc of American history, because we believe not only in America, but also as America goes, obviously, so goes the world. So there's truly a global kind of paradigm for us. And clearly we're coming from a biblical constitutional perspective when it comes to public policy. So we're in this for the long haul, and you know, thankfully, we're actually seeing the needle move in a lot of great directions.
How hard is it to keep the elected Republicans focused on the mission? There, over the past couple of months, we've had Republicans like Nancy Mace come out and say, "Well, you know, we're pro-life, but you know, this abortion issue, you know, we can't let it define us. You know, we're going to lose women voters." And when I hear stuff like that, that tells me that folks are getting a little wobbly out there. And how do we keep folks focused on mission?
Great question. And you know, look, I would say, you know, among other things, we you know, rhetoric is certainly important, but we're interested in public policies, first of all, coming into place, and then second of all, actually being implemented or executed, you know, on these state levels. And so, you know, while it's not new for certain kind of factions within Washington, D.C. to, you know, I don't want to just kind of talk about, you know, lowering taxes and leave it at that. We bottom line is, when Supreme Court, you know, when we got the Supreme Court a couple of years ago and started kind of seeing positive things put in place, kicks things back to states, we were already ready and working to see good policies put in place and you know, we're now at 26 different states that have taken some sort of action in the right direction. And, you know, look, I mean, we're just going to put wins on the board. We're going to see lives saved, literally lives saved. And, you know, if people want to challenge that, we're more than happy to have that conversation. But we don't really need, you know, everybody's permission to go do what we believe is good stuff in the light, in the view of heaven first, and certainly in the view of electoral politics that still is supported by 70% of Americans.
That's it. And we've got to stay focused. And again, we appreciate the great work you guys are doing. Now, tell us about the events that you guys have coming up in Iowa.
Yeah, so September the 16th, we'll be in Des Moines. I think we have, technically, you know, even Saudi's a new person just declared this week. I think we're up to 14 presidential candidates on the side, at least. Right now, I think we have commitments from 10 of those. I expect either 11 or 12 to ultimately to be in place. You know, we can, you know, certainly kind of keep folks posted as that thing unfolds. But interesting enough, we're actually almost sold out already. I think we have about 1,500 seats, and about 1,350 are already spoken for there.
Oh, that is tremendous. Well, Timothy, we're going to do our part. Where can people go if they want to get more information, and how can they join the Faith and Freedom Coalition?
Yeah, well, our website is ffcoalition.com, and you know, probably mid-August we'll kind of finalize the announcements on that Des Moines event. But we also have an exciting event in Atlanta, Georgia, that same week, September the 11th, and then the following weekend we'll have a huge event in North Carolina with pretty close to 2,000 people, and several of these same candidates are going to be there. So, you know, we're trying to kind of do things in a lot of different contexts. And, you know, those three are kind of the next up. But then, you know, after October the 1st, we'll have more things coming probably late this year and early next year. So we'll just kind of keep you in the loop as those things unfold. And you know, the saga continues.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And all of our North Carolina listeners, I will be at that event. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And again, we will post a direct link on our live show blog to the Faith and Freedom Coalition page. Timothy, always appreciate you coming on the program. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, and God bless, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. And we like to partner with people that are out there actually doing good. And the Faith and Freedom Coalition, those guys and gals are doing good. And I've had a chance to speak at their Iowa events, Washington, Atlanta, North Carolina. Was just there a couple of weeks ago. That's when we were in Mount Airy, North Carolina. So it's good to be back. All right. We're going to take a break and regroup. Open Line Friday, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go to the phones. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, folks, you know that eating food that is healthy and fresh is expensive, and sometimes it can be hard to find. So when I'm on the go, I have to choose, and I choose Balance of Nature. A Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. I don't have to worry about grocery shopping, throwing out produce. I mean, how many times does that happen, right? So Balance of Nature gives me 31 whole fruits and veggies every day at a fraction of the cost of buying them at a grocery store. And I can tell you, since I've been taking Balance of Nature, I've definitely noticed a boost in my energy. You're going to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code Todd, but you got to go to balanceofnature.com. That's balanceofnature.com, discount code Todd. You can also give them a call, 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751, or go to balanceofnature.com. Shipping always free, and be sure to use that discount code Todd. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Lee in North Carolina. Hey, Lee, what's going on?
Well, not a whole lot, Todd, except I have a big question for you. I know that the ones who call themselves Democrats, they like to call themselves Democrats. They like to call themselves progressives and liberals, but they're not any of those things. And I don't understand why we can't just call them what they are. They're at least fascist, if not socialist, outright.
Yeah, I mean, I think an argument could be made. They certainly are fascist. They call themselves Democrats. That's how they label themselves. I would say that there is a very big difference between the JFK Democrats and today's version of the Democrat Party.
Well, I agree with that for sure. To say that the problem, you know, I believe in truth in advertising, so to speak. You know, if you call yourself something, then that's exactly what you are. You know, and I also learned over the years you never use your enemy's terminology to describe the enemy.
Well, I will say this, you know, they've exposed themselves for who they are, and let's see. We'll see what happens down the road. But anyway, Lee, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Now, there is a disturbing story and development involving President Obama and his wife and their chef. So a few days ago, we told you that Tafari Campbell, the personal chef of Barack Hussein Obama, drowned while paddleboarding on a pond. And this apparently happened at the at the compound at Obama's $12 million seaside mansion. Now, we were originally told that there was another paddle boarder there. We were also told that someone called 911 from the residence. We were also told originally that the Obamas were not on the island. They were not even anywhere near any of this. But that turned out not to be accurate. Now they're telling us the Obamas were there, but they weren't at the house. They weren't at the mansion. Now, the Daily Mail has discovered some new information. They were able to get a copy of the 911 call. And it's interesting because the log of the call, any person who called 911, the person's name and the reason why they called, all of that information was there. But it was interesting because the 911 call that came from the Obamas' house was left empty. We don't know who called, and we don't know the circumstances of the call because it was left blank. And they're not telling us why. Also, we're being told that the identity of the paddle boarder, the other paddle boarder who was there, has not and will not be released. A lot of people have questions about this. Why not? Is it possible that it was Barack Obama on that other paddleboard? He loves paddleboarding, so it's a legitimate question to ask, but it does raise a lot of suspicions. The Edgartown Police Chief says that all of the call logbooks for 911 are handled by the sheriff's office. So the Daily Mail is on this story, and they smell something. They say something doesn't quite smell right about all of this. By the way, they also said that the paddle boarder, the chef, died or drowned in water that was about 8 feet deep. But there are now reports that that's only at high tide, that it's that deep there. And typically, it's not that deep at all. They're talking about 3 or 4 feet, 3 or 4 feet of water. Now, the police department is saying there was nothing, they don't believe that there was some sort of a criminal intent here. They're saying that that's what they're telling us, but I'm not sure what to believe until we can actually see the reports and have they done an autopsy? Are they going to do an autopsy? But I find it very peculiar that the police department is not releasing a lot of the information. And that raises a lot of questions. And especially because now they're telling us that, oh, well, by the way, the 911 call, we told you it came from the Obama residence. It actually came from nearby. Okay, where? And who made the call? Who was the other paddleboarder? Have they been able to identify this person? Do they know who this person is? Have they interviewed this person? Why did the paddleboarder not rush over to the side of Tafari Campbell and try to help the guy? I mean, if in fact the water was not all that deep, I mean, if we're talking about 3 or 4 feet of water, I mean, this is water that somebody could actually stand up in. And Tafari Campbell looks like a very physically fit guy. You know, by the way, early on they said, yeah, the guy couldn't swim. Okay, well, what was the guy doing on a paddleboard in the middle of a giant pond if he could not swim? And now it comes to find out that this guy was actually a swimmer, and there is video of this guy swimming. It's all very weird, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? What do you think is going on here? Well, I suspect we know what's going on here, but we will see how this plays out. Good for the Daily Mail for asking questions that the American media will not ask. And it's not, look, we're not going down some sort of a conspiracy rabbit hole, but these are legitimate questions. If you've called 911, we should know who that person is. And by the way, this happened at the residence of a former commander-in-chief. This happened at a $12 million mansion that should be a fortress, right? I mean, what is the Secret Service doing here? All right, we got to take a break. Curious to hear your thoughts on this, folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. So happy to have you with us today. We're going to be getting to your call, so hang tight if you're listening to us right now. By the way, this is Open Line Friday, so whatever you want to ask, it is fair game today. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Well, there is a crazy story involving one of the largest employers in the world, and many of you have probably eaten at one of their restaurants. So the name of the organization is Compass Group USA, and they are being sued over a policy which many people have described as a white men need not apply program. And I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now because we're honored to have an attorney from the Thomas More Society, and they are actually representing someone who is suing this company. Robert Weisenberger joins us today. Robert, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yes, Todd, good to hear. Good to be on the program. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, to give us some background here. What's going on here with the White Men Need Not Apply program?
Sure. Courtney was a, she's a real likable, hardworking, down-to-earth person. She's got good common sense values. She's from the Midwest, like myself, and she worked in the HR department over there, and she initially was hired just to do promotions, hirings, processing, those types of applications. Eventually, she was put on a program that a Compass Group was developing to increase equity, diversity, and inclusion in their company. Initially, she thought it might be fine, but eventually, after several months of working on the program, it became apparent that they were only going to allow people of color and women to apply to this program. So no white men were allowed to apply to this program. And this program involved a guarantee, it was a six-month training program that guaranteed a promotion upon completion. So it was, she realized that this was just not acceptable from a legal perspective, from a moral perspective, her own moral beliefs being that of Christian background, and then also just the company's own policies against anti-discrimination. So that's kind of in a nutshell what happened. And she opposed the program. She told her supervisors that she couldn't participate in the program with, her moral objections to the program and based on the belief that she believed it was discriminatory. And initially they kind of told her, hey, it shouldn't be a problem. We should be able to accommodate you. We should allow you to continue working here, but we'll just remove you from this program, which is what she asked them to do. And so she shared more freely her beliefs about the program and her concerns with the program. And after she did that, they kind of turned tables on her, told her, nope, sorry, you have to work on this program or else, and they fired her.
So your client, her name is Courtney Rogers,
yep.
And I'm curious, what laws were broken here? How did they violate her constitutional rights?
Yeah, well, these are Title VII rights, so this is a statutory right.
I see.
Yeah, and this is, there's a law that prohibits discrimination in the United States on the basis of race and sex, and that law applies to everyone. That includes white men. You can't discriminate in hiring or promoting people if you are considering those promotions or those hirings based on their race or sex. And so that's kind of facially illegal. There's also the company's own policies, of course. And then the other part of it is Miss Rogers has a religious objection to it, and so she has a right under Title VII to be accommodated unless the accommodation would create an undue burden on her employer. And that definitely wasn't the case here, and I could explain more if you'd like as to why there was no undue burden. But so essentially two legal components of her claim. One, she was fired because she opposed an illegal program, and that itself is illegal. You can't fire somebody for opposing a discriminatory policy or objecting to a discriminatory policy. And then part two is she had a religious objection. They failed to accommodate her objection. They had no a valid basis for doing that. And so that's another basis for their liability.
I'm curious about the lawsuit here, and I'm wondering how many white guys who were perfectly qualified for jobs were denied jobs simply because of the color of their skin. Would they have grounds for any kind of a lawsuit as well?
They absolutely would. And, you know, I don't know how many were denied. What I can say is there were about 30 people selected for this program. There were, of course, no white males in the initial pilot program. So this was a pilot program that was eventually going to be scaled nationally to the entire company. So we're kind of fortunate that we've been able to find out about it so early and hopefully be able to nip it in the bud, so to speak. I guess we'll see what Compass Group decides to do. Maybe they'll scale it anyways, but that should open them up to lots of liability. But yes, you know, I don't know how many people were passed over, but, you know, it could easily be in the hundreds, depending on, you know, where these employees were pulled from.
This is really shocking. And again, you're talking about restaurants like Wolfgang Puck. So these are some pretty well-known restaurants that we're talking about here, among others.
Yeah. Big clients, Dodger Stadium, San Francisco International Airport, Chevron headquarters. I mean, yeah, this is a very large food service company.
Wow. All right. Well, Robert, we really appreciate you coming on the program today. Again, Thomas More Society is representing Ms. Rogers here. And information, thomasmoresociety.org. Is that right, Robert?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, thank you again. Good luck. We're going to be paying very close attention to this as it makes its way through the courts. A very important court case. And I have to imagine, Robert, you know, we've been battling and talking about issues like white privilege and this critical race theory. And this is what it looks like in practice.
That's exactly right. Thank you very much, Todd, for having me on the program. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Robert Weisenberger from the Thomas More Society. And they are suing one of the largest food service corporations in the country because they had a white men need not apply program. Wow. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. I want to go to Collierville, Tennessee. Justin is listening to us on KWAM, our great flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Justin, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Hey, I just wanted to kind of hit on the Steve Cohen issue because sadly, he's been my congressman pretty much my whole adult life until I moved out of his congressional district. It's no surprise to me that he wouldn't even stand up for women and their right to have a safe area to change in. I just like to focus on an issue that was here and actually happened to a group of my friends. So the VFW actually has a day on the Hill. They go up to Washington, D.C. and talk to their congressman. So the veterans from the Collierville VFW went up there and they tried to walk in Steve Cohen's office to talk to him about veteran-related issues. And he asked where they're from, and they said Collierville, which a majority of them live in his district in the Cordova area. And he said, no, y'all probably voted for Trump, so I don't even want to listen to or talk to y'all. Y'all can leave my office. So
what?
I mean, yes. So this story has been around for a long time. Every time you get around, especially that group of veterans, and you ask them about Cohen, they will tell you. And it wasn't even about, like, partisan politics. They were literally just trying to talk to him about the issues. So this does not surprise me about him because he literally has no moral background. And I honestly don't understand why they still keep electing him in his district, because there's been good Democrat candidates and also Republican candidates that have ran against him. But for some reason, he is entrenched in the West Tennessee whole political party agenda. So he's an embarrassment to Tennessee. He's an embarrassment to Memphis. And now also he's an embarrassment to Shelby County and Tipton County, because that is the area that he now represents in West Tennessee.
Wow. I am stunned to hear this news that Steve Cohen refused to meet with men and women who have served this nation honorably because he thought they might have voted for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What a sleazy guy. I told you, Justin, the guy is sleazy, just sleazy. And that's more evidence. Unbelievable. All right. Well, Justin, appreciate that information. That is just shameful. We're going to call him up on it. Well, we ought to get some information on this, Grace. I want to find out why the congressman is refusing to meet with these brave men and women, these service members who served our country. That's unacceptable.
It's despicable.
All right, let's get on that, Grace. Jeez, Alou. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going right to the phones, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Old Mitch should return to my old Kentucky home. My age is starting to show, but the Senate's become just like a nursing home where me and Diane refuse to go. No, Mitch won't go back to my old Kentucky home. You've not heard the last from me. I will remain neath the Capitol dome to further undermine the GOP.
Oh man, Jim Gossett got me going, getting a little misty here, Grace Baker, with my old Kentucky home. That's sad.
Just my allergies, Todd.
Were y'all waving your cell phones in the air?
We had our flashlights in solidarity.
I felt like I was at a Taylor Swift concert. Wow.
Not enough glitter for that.
I'm just impressed that Mitch was able to remember the lyrics to make it through the song. I mean, that's all right. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. We're going to start in Oregon. Kathy on the line. Hi, Kathy. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. So I'm going off of, you know, what I'm hearing in the news about the two Bidens being in cahoots, right? So as a parent, in the first place, it is unthinkable that I would get my child involved in criminality. That's unthinkable. But is he also going to let Hunter take the fall for this whole thing? And didn't Ashley Biden in her diary say that her dad was tyrannical about controlling the money?
That's true, Kathy. And also, you know, along with that, of course, taking the showers, which she thought might have been inappropriate. I think there's something very wrong morally with Joe Biden. And I do think that he would throw his kids under the bus. I really do. And all you have to do is look at how their lives turned out. I mean, both of them having to go through rehab for drugs. Something is not right there in that family.
I think Joe had a favorite, and his favorite died. No wonder Hunter's a drug addict.
Oh, you know, I didn't even really think of it like that. So maybe he was the favored son, and he would always tell Hunter, you know, why can't you be more like your brother, Bo?
Yeah. I'm tired of people saying what a loving, wonderful father he is when these things don't add up.
Kathy, I never bought it for a second. And for me, the telling story and the telling component of all of this is the grandchild. Both he and the wife, and I think she's downright evil. She's a despicable person. But to reject the grandchild in Arkansas, that tells me everything I need to know about those people.
Yeah.
Yep, they're really bad people. I mean, it's sad, but, you know, they're bad. They don't have to be bad. They choose to be bad. They need to go to church and listen to what the minister says. That's what they need to be doing.
Well, that's not going to happen.
No. So. Kathy, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening to KYKN. Let's go to Nick, also listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Nick. What's on your mind?
Wow, the left coast has got their ear on you today.
I'm impressed. Yeah, way to go.
Okay, so earlier someone was talking about the left and how they change words. And, you know, if you think about it, the left uses words that we used to use and to describe good things, like the word gay. We can't use the word gay anymore as of whenever they started using the word to describe them, that particular group of people. Okay, that's part of the left agenda. The rainbow is now stolen. The rainbow was God's promise not to destroy the world again with water. Yet we cannot display the rainbow flag because it's been stolen by the left to once again promote their agenda. So a local radio host here a couple of years ago was trying to come up with some words to describe the left, and I helped him along because he called them progressive, tyrannical Marxists. And I said, no, sir, they're not progressive, they're regressive. And I think every time a talk show host who has the ear of hundreds of thousands or millions of people, when they use the left terminology, you're falling right into what they want you to do, and that's to hide what they really are. So I'm going to promote RTM, regressive totalitarian Marxism, or Marxist, as that is what they really are.
Oh, I like that. Regressive. Can we just call them regressives for short? Is that okay, Nick?
Well, sure. But I mean, if you're going to go into more detail, you know, they're tyrannical in their ideology, and they're Marxist again in their ideology. So, yeah, regressive, I think, would be great instead of progressive because they're anything but.
I like this, Nick. Appreciate the call. Good stuff. Let's go to Bob in North Carolina on the talk station. Hey, Bob, what you got?
Hey, Todd. I don't believe that President Trump should participate in the first Republican debates, and the reason being is because all it's going to be is a Trump bashing event. And if he doesn't show up, they're not going to get the ratings. So I think the people that are going to vote for Trump are going to vote for President Trump anyway. So, I mean, even if he doesn't show up, I don't think it's at least the first debate, I think that he should not participate in.
You know, Bob, my dad was a boxer back in the day, and he was pretty good. But there was something about boxing is you gotta be able to practice. You gotta get into the ring. You gotta spar. And you know when you do that, you hone your skills and you prepare yourself for the big fight. And that's why I think Trump ought to. I completely agree with everything you said. But I'm of the opinion that you gotta debate every time that door is opened and that invitation is extended. Get out there and debate. And it's not only good for Donald Trump, but it's also good for all of these up-and-comers. So, Bob, appreciate that call. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Coming up, we've got a great interview with an up-and-comer in Congress. We're going to be talking to Antoine Bohannon coming up next. All right, we've got the video of Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, up on our Facebook live stream. So if you want to go to Facebook and you can check it out there. He had some sort of it looks like he was having a medical episode during this presser. He has lost a lot of weight. You know, he had that head injury and he was out for months. And now he is back, but clearly he is not well. Several senators rushed to his side and rushed. They were there, but they made sure that he didn't fall. And he just does not look very well. So anyway, pray for Senator McConnell, and we're going to get you more information there. You can watch the video of what happened over on the Todd Stearns Facebook page. All right, our telephone number again, 844-747-8868. That is our number. And we're very excited to have an in-studio guest here in Memphis, Tennessee at our flagship station, KWAM. His name is Antoine Bohannon, and he is running for Congress, and he wants to send Democrat Congressman Steve Cohen to retirement. And I'm very excited about his backstory. He is here with us. And Antoine, good to have you on the program today.
Good afternoon.
So I want you to take our listeners through your story, because you served in the U.S. Navy. And you've spent a lot of time in the Navy. So give us some background and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, 21 years in the United States Navy, submarines. I was a supply chief, born in East St. Louis, Illinois, and kind of raised between there, Memphis, and Little Rock, Arkansas.
So you didn't stray too far away from the Mississippi River?
Oh, no.
So there you go. I love that. I love that. You know, you have really made an impact in such a very short time, you know, here in the Memphis area with politics. I think a lot of people are very excited about what you want to do, why you are running. And again, you've got so much other stuff happening. You've got a beautiful family. Why in the world do you want to run for Congress?
You know what? My wife said the exact same thing. I just happened to be at a Republican meeting when they redrew the districting lines. And our party chair just happened to be speaking to everyone. And then he looks down in the audience and said, at least we have someone to run against Steve Cohen. And everybody's kind of looking around. And he said, isn't that right, Antoine? I was sitting in the crowd. So I was completely shocked. I got home and my wife said, what are you doing? You're supposed to be retired. I said, when people are pushed into purpose, you have to answer the call.
And I think that's one of those moments, you know, for such a time as this, where we all have to stand up. Good-hearted patriots have to stand up. And, you know, we've got to step up to the plate. And you've done that. And I heard you speak a couple of nights ago. We were launching the Whitehaven Republican Club, which is which is actually a majority black middle-class neighborhood now.
Yes, it is.
And community. And I was really impressed with the numbers of people who came out who said, you know what, Democrats, they've made a lot of promises over the generations, but they've never delivered.
Yes, after 50 years of continual marching, talking about justice and equality, at some point you're going to have to say, show me something. And it hasn't been shown to the community. So now we're kind of looking around and trying to figure out who's going to be there to actually help us. Being a chief in the Navy, I was always taught to put people in a position to succeed. In order to do that as a leader, you must first listen to the people and not be disconnected to the people and be consistently present where things are going on. It's called deck plate leadership.
You mentioned that we were all, at your speech, you said we're all in the same boat.
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
We're all in the same boat. Of course, it's a nautical term, but what that means is everything affects us. We're connected. Shelby County has the largest district, which is 9th District, and it connects to everyone. So therefore, if the 9th District does well, then everyone does well. Crime goes down. Cost of living will go down because now you have more people contributing, so taxes don't fall on everyone else's shoulders, but we equally carry it. High tides lifts all boats.
There, of course, will be a presidential election tied into the big race.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of attention on that, and of course, all the candidates are making their way through Tennessee right now. What are you looking for? Have you already decided who you're going to be supporting, or are you holding off?
Well, I haven't had a chance to decide. I have a 14-year incumbent, and so all my effort, time, and energy has been focused on reaching people because there's 568,000 voters in District 9. So granted, if I had time to come up and think, then maybe, but at the time, I'm just looking to win everyone's approval.
So you want that, yes, so you're looking at the congressional district there. What are some of the big issues in that congressional district that your folks are facing?
Well, currently right now is actually well-paying jobs. We keep saying that we're going to turn around and put people to work, but Purdue did a study that mental health wellness begins with at least having $55,000 a year. And majority of the people that's in the area don't make that. So we wonder why individuals don't get out to vote because they're too busy trying to put food on the table, clothes on the back, and roof over their heads and daycare and other services that they have to pay for. So our jobs as leaders is to put people into a position to succeed so they can be involved with a lot of our civics.
I'm curious to get your take on the military and the Pentagon. Under the Biden administration, it almost seems to be a repeat of what happened during Obama's term in office when he turned the Pentagon into this social engineering petri dish. And you were really trying to change the culture of the nation through the military. Have you seen that? And what are you hearing from your fellow veterans?
That is not our concern. Our concern is protection, both near and far. And to introduce other plans every 4 years of every 8 years just isn't fair to a fighting force that is designed to protect. Okay, we have times for other things, but right now using the United States military to push your agenda is completely wrong.
And I go back to the, you know, you're supposed to blow things up and kill the enemy. I mean, that's
really
it in a nutshell.
That is it. Now, what we're doing is we've created division amongst all of the branches. So now, instead of concentrating on one foe, we're too busy fighting about what to wear, what to call each other, pronouns. And that right there leads to distraction and gets away from the basic of training.
We're speaking to Antoine Bohannon, and he wants to be the next representative here in our part of the country in Congress, running for the district that is currently held by Steve Cohen, who is a radical progressive. I mean, the guy's really, he's an embarrassment. He's, you know, again, I get it. We're a majority blue, you know, we're a deep blue part of Tennessee. But the guy is just embarrassing all of us with his behavior up on Capitol Hill.
Mr. Cohen has been in office for over 40 years. I mean, that's in every elected position. So I would think that he would have a greater understanding of the frontline personnel, not individuals that are sitting in ivory towers, but those who are on the streets and their plight. Leaders must be compassionate and consistently present, not every once in a while. There shouldn't be an issue that you cannot drive through any neighborhood and call a local representative and says, hey, I saw this. What do you need?
One of the things I appreciate about Congressman David Kustoff, who is my congressman, is he's back in the district. Probably
always.
Always, more so than he's in Washington, D.C.
Of course. Ever since they redrew the line and split, you know, down 51, I have seen Congressman Kustoff more times than I can actually count. Whenever there's a national disaster, he's there. He's not phoning things in. He's coming to visit, looking at everything and says, what do you need? And that's what leaders do.
All right. I have to brag on you because you and I have been at the same place before a couple of times. You were down at Mar-a-Lago.
Yes.
What was that experience like?
Wonderful. The kids loved it because those are experiences. If you think about it, so when I was born in East St. Louis and I used to come back to Earl, Arkansas, they still had sharecropping. So when I came back during the summer times, I actually had the chance to pick cotton. We got paid $21 a day. So I go from picking cotton with family members in Earl, Arkansas, to walk in the halls of the Pentagon, to being at Mar-a-Lago. There's no other country on this planet that you are afforded the opportunity to succeed other than America.
It's a great story. Did you have the meatloaf? Did you eat dinner there?
Yes, we did have dinner there. It was really nice. It wasn't the meatloaf. It was the steak. And
it was a good steak.
And we enjoyed ourselves.
Next time you go down, you got to try the meatloaf. I know it sounds weird, but it's his mom's, President Trump's mother's meatloaf recipe.
Oh, yeah. So we'll be looking for it. We'll be going back again in March.
I love it. You know, you look at President Trump and the promise he made to the black community in America. And yes. And he went there. He went to the communities and he said, what do you have to lose at this point? Give me a shot. And I think a lot of people, that message resonated with folks.
It did. Unfortunately, we let the media overshadow that. And at that point, it kind of distracts away from the good that was done. He gave more money to the HBCUs than any other president.
It's a good point. I get a lot of calls on this on the national show from Whitehaven, and they will tell me, I voted for Donald Trump. I just don't tell people I voted for Donald Trump, you know. But again, I think there are more people, you know, in black, you know, neighborhoods like Whitehaven who voted for President Trump, who actually share Republican values. They may vote Democrat, but they actually, their values align with the Republican Party. Are you finding that as you're out on the campaign trail knocking on doors?
Yes, it's our cultural pressures, just like peer pressure, right? Because we voted for the last 50 years, right? Grandmother voted Democrat, father, aunties, uncles, cousins. So if you kind of tell people and veer off that path, oh, they look at you like a leper, like, what did you do?
You know, my grandmother did that. She was a Methodist, and all the kids became Baptists. So it was that issue with us.
Yeah, but we all have the same views. Why? Because even though people try to highlight the things that separate us, there are things that bind us. Economic improvement, educational improvement. If we can just get away from the smoke and mirrors and just concentrate on those two facets, we'll see that we are all in this together, regardless of where you're at.
I love it. We've got to take a break here. Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Yes, I can.
All right. Antoine Bohannon is with us. He's running for Congress here in the Memphis area. Give us a call if you'd like to have a conversation, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Welcome, everybody, and thanks for hanging out with us in spite of the hiccups. You know what? We're going to go picket contest. Can we do that, Grace? Can we check on that? Find out where their HQ is. I think they're all run by Democrats. All right. 844-747-8868 is our phone number, and we are just honored to have Antoine Bohannon with us today. He's running for Congress here in Tennessee. Antoine Bohannon for Congress.com. We've got the link up on our live show blog. So if you want to go there, you can find information about the campaign. Antoine, I'm curious, Joe Biden, what do you think is the biggest issue surrounding the Biden administration right now?
Leadership. In all honesty, for somebody who's been in an office in the Senate for 36 years and then an 8-year vice president, you would think that he would have a smooth sailing as the commander in chief. I mean, how much rehearsal do you need?
It's a good point. You know, yesterday, though, he did announce that he cured cancer. So that's we're celebrating that today on the program.
Along with everything else of, you know, getting full scholarships to colleges and being the smartest person out of his class, and you can just add that to the list.
Isn't it amazing? You know, when you look at his policies and how that, you know, they've really devastated a lot of communities around this nation over the years, going back to his time in the Senate. This is a guy who has failed. I mean, he has truly failed, and now here he is, the commander in chief.
Speaking of failure, he was the one who architected the crime bill when he talked about crack cocaine and everything else. And if you have at least something that measures a quarter, then you would go to jail for 5 years, and it was taken out of the hands of the judge. But yet they found cocaine in the White House. Can you imagine if President Trump would have had cocaine in the White House, or if Don Jr. would have had anything compared to Hunter Biden? That place would burn down.
Or if, President Trump, I don't know if he has a dog, but if he had like a little dog that bit somebody, it would have been wall-to-wall news coverage.
Wall-to-wall
it's
news
true.
Coverage.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's a great point you make. You know, when you're making the case for voters, I mean, this would be the biggest upset, I think, in modern election history if you're able to pull this off and defeat a Democrat here in Tennessee. What is it going to take to do that, to make that happen?
One, to understand that as leaders, and this is a House race, so it's 2 years. So if Cohen doesn't get reelected, guess what? He's still a multimillionaire. He's going to go away and live happy. If I get elected in November of 24, guess what? 25 January, I'm there in Congress. I come back during non-session timeframes. 2026, I'm running for office again. So therefore, you have a chance to let me prove to you how hard I will work for you.
What's that experience like? You're out there knocking on doors and you say, I'm a Republican. What do people normally say? What's that conversation like?
Well, one, they said, you're a Republican and you're black. I said, yeah. So it takes them back. But then I explained the reason to them. I said, the only way to be able to get justice and equality is understanding who you vote for. And do they have your same values in line? And when you're talking about education and economy, that lines up with the Republican Party. When you're talking about social programs, that lines up with the Democratic Party. But one has to pay for the other, and that's balance.
Mm. All right, let's talk about your website, AntoineBohannonForCongress.com. What can people find there at your website?
Well, one, they will find out a little bit about what I'm actually standing for when it comes to items such as the border crisis, opioid. Also, how do we turn around and start making our economy better? So being in the military, I had a chance to travel all around the world, being a submarine, mainly South Asian countries. And what I found that supply and logistics post e-commerce, we're behind the power curve here in the United States. We need to train our individuals about automation, coding, and quit leaving everything up to the HB1 visas. Great program. However, we have incredible incredible people that are here that can fill those jobs in Silicon Valley or anywhere else in the United States when it comes toward the tech empires.
All right. Again, folks, Antoine Bohannon for Congress.com is the website. We have the direct link on our Facebook, or sorry, on our live show blog over at ToddStearns.com. That's Antoine Bohannon for Congress.com. And we'd love to get you to come back. I mean, you're in the neighborhood.
Yes.
So swing on by and we'll have some more conversations.
Yes, I am always here.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and good luck to you out on the campaign trail, Antoine Bohannon, and we look forward to having you back with us.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, it has been a wild day here and a lot going on. By the way, I'll give you an update on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He did come back to the podium, and someone asked if he was – well, let's just take a listen here.
Could you address what happened here at the start of the press conference, and was it related to your injury from earlier this year where you suffered a concussion? Is that
– No, I'm fine.
You're fine? You're fully able to do your job?
No.
Mr. Leader, can I just get your –
Okay, that doesn't sound good. All right, we're gonna pay attention to that. We do need to have a conversation in this country about what's going on up at Capitol Hill right now. I mean, it sounds like the nation's most expensive senior adult retirement complex, and we got to get that figured out. All right, folks, it has been a good day. You folks get out there. Have a great one. ToddStearns.com. Download the podcast. Check out the newsletter. And be good, America. We'll see you tomorrow.